Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 22, and you can find that in the insert in your bulletins, Psalm 22. I have it printed out there for you so that we can all follow along together from the English Standard Version. And also there is an insert in your bulletins from the next to it that is also an outline of this morning's message. So I want to encourage you to follow along in your text. Some people like to just follow the scripture, and that's fine, but if that outline is of help to you, you certainly may use that as well. Psalm 22. Let us begin with the scripture reading, the reading of God's word as we find it in Psalm 22. Psalm 22, to the choir master, according to the Doe of the Dawn, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and they were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you I was cast from birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are a joint or out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaw. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him. All you offspring of Israel, for he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generations. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. Thus the reading of God's word as we find it in Psalm 22, the 31 verses of Psalm 22, God's holy word. Do you ever have times where it seems as if all the world is against you? Do you ever have times where it seems as if there are people watching you, waiting for you to make a mistake and then pounce on you? Do you have something in your life an illness, a relationship gone bad that causes you so much pain. Something that's taking its toll physically on you so that you can feel it all the way down to your bones. And it seems that when you pray, God is so far away. You find yourself praying and praying daily, and the situation doesn't seem to change. It seems the more you pray, the more it seems God doesn't answer your prayer and change the situation you're in. You look at the lives of other Christians, and they tell you how they trusted God. They can give testimony to times in their lives where they went through struggles and they prayed and prayed and they trusted God and God answered them. When they prayed and they were physically ill, somehow they were physically healed. Their marriage situation was changed. Their son or daughter came back to the Lord. The attacks from others as they prayed came to a stop. And as they trusted God, they were proved right. But in your situation, God does not seem to be answering your prayers. You think back and you think about those times in your lives where you have grown in your understanding of God. You have tried to live faithfully for Him. You have tried to live a life which is pleasing to Him. You have trusted Him through so many things. But in this situation, He does not seem to rescue you. And it seems as if God has forsaken you. In Psalm 22, King David is asking this very same question and feeling these very same things. And as he looks at his situation, it seems as if God is far from him. Yet even though it doesn't seem like it in his current circumstances, at the end of the psalm, David comes to realize that God has not forsaken his people. David comes to realize that God has answered his prayer in a powerful and in a gracious and in a loving way. And as we go through Psalm 22 this morning, my prayer is that as you read and hear these words of King David, you too, no matter what situation you're in, will see and understand this powerful love and grace of God. Let us look this morning, first of all, at the broad structure of Psalm 22. You can see that Psalm 22 is divided up into three particular parts. We call them in the Hebrew poetry stanzas. The first stanza, if you want to take a half circle on your with your pen and draw it around verses 1 through 11, that's the first stanza. The second stanza is verses 12 through 21, and the third stanza is verses 22 through 31. How do we know that these are the three stanzas of the psalm? You can see in each stanza an echo of the first verse. In the first verse, David calls out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? And as he comes to the end of the first stanza, having expressed his thoughts, we see in verse 11, the first line, an echo of what he has said from the beginning. Be not far from me is his call to God. At the end of the second stanza, again, we have an echo from the beginning. In verse 19, the final strophe of this stanza, the second stanza, again in verse 19, we see the words expressed, but you, O Lord, do not be far off. The beginning of the psalm cries out, God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from me? And as he comes to the end of each stanza, he again echoes that call, having expressed himself, his feelings, his emotions, the situation of the psalm throughout in those two stanzas. And each time he asks the same question and he prays the same prayer, O Lord, do not be far off. And yet, as he comes to the third stanza, he comes to a stanza of praise. Praise unto God. There's some scholars, some liberal scholars who think, well, there's really two psalms here. They try to cut it in half. They say the first 21 verses is the first psalm, a psalm of lament, and then suddenly there's this radical change in verse 22 and the end, which is a psalm of praise. So they say, well, Psalm 22 should be two psalms. But as you look carefully this morning, you can see throughout this psalm how David expresses himself, how David comes up with his answer at the end. In the first part of this psalm, the first stanza, David is expressing himself in terms of his abandonment, how he feels in verse 1 as if God has forsaken him, as if people are turning against him, how it seems as if God does not hear his cries and his prayers. Look at those words again. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Day and night, David is crying. Day and night, David is calling and praying unto God, and there doesn't seem to answer. There doesn't seem to be a change. So as David goes on in the first stanza, he goes on to express what he has seen in the past in the lives of other followers of God. Verse 3, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. The people of Israel praise you, O God. For why? Verse 4, in you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. David is looking back into Old Testament history. He is reflecting on the trust and faith of his fathers. And just as he has cried out in verses 1 and 2, three times, my God, in verse 2, my God, he responds in the second part of this stanza with three trusts. Verse 4, in you our fathers trusted. They trusted, verse 4. And then at the end of verse 5, in you they trusted. They cried out, my God, and they trusted in that call unto God. And what did God do? Each time, verse 4, they trusted and you delivered them. First line of verse 5, to you they cried and were rescued. They trusted, they cried, they were delivered, they were rescued. And they have earned, and they have responded, verse 3, with the praises of Israel unto God for their trust and deliverance. But this is not David's experience in this situation, verse 6. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me and their mouths and make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in God. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. You see how the psalmist, King David, as he expresses his thoughts, he recognizes that what he is experiencing in his life is not the same as what his fathers have experienced as they trusted God. In fact, even the unbelieving world, verse 8, is mocking him about these things. He trusts in the Lord. Let God deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. But look at him. Look at his situation. Look how miserable he is. He has claimed trust and faith in God. He has remembered those in the past that God has delivered and saved when they trusted God and God came to their rescue. But in his situation, he's a worm and not a man. He's scorned by unbelievers. And they're saying of him, look, what does trust in God give you at all. No rescue, no deliverance, and they mock him. So David goes on in verse 9 to express his faithful trust in God all of his life. He doesn't understand it. Why hasn't God saved him? Verse 9, yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you I was cast from birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. David has trusted God all of his life, from the womb, from the time where he was born and at his mother's breast, from his birth, all the way, all of his life, he has trusted God. God has been at work in his life, enabling him to trust him, for he took me from the womb. He made me trust you at my mother's breast. But yet, verse 11, God seems so far from him. Be not far from me, for the trouble is near, and there is none to help. At the end of verse 10, he expresses, from my mother's womb you have been my God, echoing my God in verse 1 and verse 2. Coming back again, he has been faithful. He believes he has trusted God all of his life. But no matter what, his situation doesn't change. The trouble is near. There is none to help. And it seems as if God is so far from him with an answer to his trouble. As David continues in the psalm into stanza 2, he begins to describe the pain of the present situation he's in. In the first stanza, he has reflected on the past, what God has done in his life, what God has done in the forefathers' lives, and how God has saved them. But now this is not happening in the present. And he begins to describe the pain in that trouble, especially verses 12 and 13. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surrounded me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and a roaring lion. David is using animal imagery to describe how he seems surrounded, how it seems like there's people around him ready to pounce, ready to tear him apart like a roaring lion. And as he experiences this terrible situation, verse 14, he describes his physical pain. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. Look how he describes the physical difficulty, all the body parts he mentioned. His bones are out of joint. His heart is like wax. It's melted within his breast. His strength is dried up. His tongue is sticking to his jaw. And look how he concludes. You lay me in the dust of death. This situation is so bad. This situation is taking such its physical toll. For David, it seems as if he is laying in the dust of death. He is as good as dead. Then for emphasis, David repeats the same pattern that he had just expressed in terms of understanding his physical pain. He starts with an animal, verse 16, for dogs encompass me, just as the bulls encompassed him. A company of evildoers encircles me, and they have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones, and they stare and gloat over me. Just as he starts with the animals attacking and encompassing him in the first expression, verses 12 through 15. He starts in verse 16 with the dogs. They encircle him, and he again uses the physical parts of his body, his hands, his feet, his bones, and they stare and they gloat over him. And finally, just as he concludes in verse 15, you lay me to the dust of death, as if he is good as dead. Verse 18, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. They have divided up his clothing because he is as good as dead. But notice in verse 19, once again, the echo from verse 1. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. See how David, as he begins in verse 19, expresses again now with even more urgency his need and understanding for God to help him and to save. Four particular verbs he uses in these verses. Four verbs which are imperatives, which call out unto God out of desperation. O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. And then in the last line of verse 21, everything changes. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. The previous verbs have been verbs of a call unto God, a call for desperation, for him not to be far off, a call to come quickly, to deliver, to save. And then he's rescued. Even the reverse order of these animals listed at the end of verse 20 and verse 21, you see my precious life from the power of the dog connected with the animal in verse 16. Save me from the mouth of the lion connected with the lion at the end of verse 13. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen in similar manner with the bulls of verses 12 and 13. But now the verb changes. Instead of calling out to God with that last verb, that last call, David said, "You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen." It's as if in this last line of verse 21, David is rescued. He's come to the realization that God has rescued him from the horns of the wild oxen. In fact, this desperate David, describing how God is far from him in stanza 1, describing his physical pain in stanza 2, bursts out in the last part of this psalm in praise. Verse 22, I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. Notice the pattern in verses 22 to 23. He starts out with his own personal praise. He will tell of the name of his brothers in the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And he moves in verse 23 to a congregational or a covenant praise. All the offspring of Jacob, glorify him, stand in awe of him, praise him, verse 23. As you drop to verse 25 and 26, we see the same pattern. In verse 25, David speaks of his own personal praise. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. And then in verse 26, again, the community praise. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. Individual praise, verse 22. Congregational praise, verse 23. Individual praise, verse 25. Congregational praise, verse 26. And in verse 24, sandwiched in the middle, we see the reason for David's praise. What has happened? For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. What happened? All throughout this psalm, David is crying out to God. He is echoing again and again through each stanza, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from me? Why are you letting all these things happen to me in my life, and you don't seem to answer my prayers? And now suddenly, without telling us anything about what happened, he's been rescued in verse 21, and he expresses, surrounded by praise, that God has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has heard when he cried to him. What happened? I don't see anything in the psalm that tells us exactly how God delivered him, whether David's circumstances changed at all. From all we know, the circumstances and the misery is all the same, but David is bursting out in individual praise, and he tells the congregation to praise. Don't you see how the congregational praise is echoing verse 3? For David in verses 3 through 5 is describing how the fathers trusted, how they trusted and delivered, how they cried and were rescued. And in verse 3 they say, you are wholly enthroned on the praises of Israel. Israel is praising God in verses 3 through 5 for God's deliverance. And now David, who doesn't seem to be rescued in this psalm, is in the congregation, telling the congregation to praise God because he's been delivered. And we see nothing in this psalm which tells us how David was delivered, or even if David was delivered at all. Look at that last line of verse 24. But God has heard when he cried to him. He knows God has heard, but where's the deliverance? Look at that last line of verse 26. May your hearts live forever. His physical body is near death. But David is giving praise because it says, may your hearts live forever. How can David say that? How can he understand that? How can he express that in the midst of this situation where it seems as if God is so far away? Verse 27, all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you, for kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. You see, David is a king of Israel, but David understands as he finds himself in this situation that he is not an eternal king of Israel, that there is another king of Israel that is yet to come. And this king of Israel is a king that belongs to God, verse 28. He is a king that rules over all the nations, verse 28, and all the ends of the earth, verse 27, shall remember and turn to the Lord, and the families of the nations, Jew and Gentile, shall worship before you. And through this king, David understands that hearts will live forever. You think maybe David did not see all of this? You think maybe that perhaps David did not mean this when he wrote this psalm? The New Testament gospel writers sure understood. As Jesus hung from the cross, Matthew and Mark record him calling out the words of verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? They understood that the king that was on the cross, the Son of David, came to experience and fulfill this psalm. Verse 8, as Matthew and Mark record what takes place before the cross, verse 8, he trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. The words of the mockers as Jesus was hanging on the cross. In verse 15, David writes, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaw." The gospel writer of John records Jesus hanging from the cross and his statement that, "I thirst." And as the gospel writer of John sees our Lord hanging on the cross, he quotes verse 18. "They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." David comes to the realization in this psalm that though his circumstances may have not changed, though God doesn't seem to answer his prayers for the misery to change or the physical situation to change, God has enfolded him into himself. For God would send a king, God's king, God's very own son, to go through the death on the cross and experience all the things of this psalm to pay for the sins of David and the families of the nations who worship him, so their hearts would live forever. Look how David understands this in verse 29. "All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust." There it is. He is down at the dust at the end of verse 15. Now he tells us in verse 29 that before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Death doesn't matter in God's salvation. You may not be able to keep yourself alive. You may go down to the dust, David sees and understands, but God has still saved. God has still rescued. They will still worship. Whether you live or you die, you belong unto him. Verse 30, "Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation." This salvation of God is not limited to David. It is not limited to one particular generation. Even the future generations, the posterity, the future, those will hear of the Lord and know this same salvation. Verse 31, "They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it." Do you see the confidence in the last line of this psalm? He has done it. It doesn't matter what the circumstances look like to him. It doesn't matter what others are saying. Hey, he trusts God. God is not saving him. God is not recognizing or delivering him. It doesn't matter the physical pain that goes down to his bones where he feels like death. David is giving praise unto God for the salvation of God. David is giving praise unto God because he belongs to God, and he knows that whether death comes upon him, this salvation of God is forever, for hearts live forever when you belong unto him. David understands that his Savior would need to come and to suffer these things so that he could experience the deliverance of the Lord. And yes, he has done it. Do you have times where you feel as if God has abandoned you? Do you have times where it seems as if God is so far away? The pain, whether it's physical or emotional pain or bad relationship pain, has you feeling so miserable down to your bones? God doesn't seem to answer. But when you understand that God has answered, when you understand, as David foresaw, that God's Son would go through this for you, when you understand that He went to the cross and He paid for your sins, when you understand that if you belong to Him because He suffered all that you have to suffer, and that your heart lives forever, you understand that God has answered. Oh, maybe your circumstance doesn't change, but God has answered. And you can stand in the congregation next to those whom God has graciously answered and praise and worship just as they do. If you lose that battle with cancer that someone else has won, you still praise. If that relationship gone bad doesn't change, you still praise. If there are people ready to pounce on you, waiting for your mistake, if there are those who are mocking your trust because God doesn't seem to answer, saying, see, faith in God doesn't help, you still praise. You praise because you understand, as David understood, that once you belong to the salvation of God and you have been enfolded into Him and His King, you live, you praise, you glory, for He has done it. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You this morning for this glorious psalm, a reminder, O Lord, of how You do not leave Your people. For Lord, at times we do feel as if we are all alone. At times, situations come our way where we pray and pray and the answer that we want and desire doesn't seem to come. But we rejoice, Lord, that You have rescued us. That, Lord, we may face pain and suffering in this world, but our faith is secure in You. Our salvation is secure, for our Savior has died. He has gone through His death on the cross. He has risen from the grave for us. And we know that He has done it. And so, O Lord, help us in our hearts to always give praise. To give praise with others, Lord, who seem to have their prayers answered from our impression more than us. But we know it's not true. For we know that You love us. We know that we can give praise. For we are Yours. And Jesus is our King. And our hearts will live forever. And we will be with Him forever. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.